Welcome to the Variotto Insider, a podcast covering some of the latest trends and things to know in cybersecurity. This podcast is sponsored by Variotto, which is an award-winning employee monitoring and insider threat detection software provider. So to learn more about how Variotto can help protect your company, check out variotto.com. Now, I'm Dr. Christine Zwakor, your host for today's segment, and we are covering trends in social engineering and insider threat. Of course, this is a huge topic today as social engineering attacks continue to just plague the industry. And so we'll dig into that more. But before we do, a little bit about me. I've been in the cybersecurity industry for over a decade now. I've led a variety of different cybersecurity functions within the Fortune 100 space, and I now lead Cyber Pop-Up, which is an on-demand platform for cybersecurity services. Now, social engineering attacks, to jump right into this topic, are a common way for hackers to get into organizations, right, through the help of unsuspecting users. And it is an alarming trend that is routinely exploited now more than ever. So according to recent research, just last year, phishing attacks affected 75% of organizations worldwide, and about the same number, 75% of attacks that targeted U.S. businesses were actually successful. Verizon's 2020 report also stated that phishing attacks are behind 22% of breaches, making that one of the top threats that organizations are facing. Now, in addition, the themes of these attacks often trace back to that social engineering, right? For example, in the ransomware attacks that targeted Kaseya, which was a really big one that people talked about this year a lot and that we saw a lot of impact from, as well as global meat supplier JBS is another one. Those attacks leveraged social engineering tactics in order to be successful. And so during this session today, we're going to cover the latest trends in social engineering and key challenges that are enabling them. We're going to walk through a couple of example breaches and touch on those. And then we'll get into tips for combating these types of attacks, especially in today's world. So to kick off with digging into the trends more today, attackers are deceiving even the most aware users and tricking them into, you know, handing over this valuable company data, because these attacks are just getting more sophisticated. There was a survey where 64% of employees who were polled failed to identify suspicious links. And so suspicious links tend to be a key indicator of phishing emails, right? They're one of the number one things that we try to educate folks to look out for. And so in that, majority of folks were not able to spot those suspicious links, I think, which, you know, says a lot about solely relying on that sort of awareness method for these attacks. Though, of course, it's always important. It's still something that, you know, needs a ton of work in this space to get people to identify those. Another one, 55% admitted to clicking on links that they did not recognize. And so it's one thing to just not be able to tell whether something is malicious or not, but to know that, hey, I don't recognize this link, but I'm going to click on it anyway, like that's even riskier behavior. And 55% of folks admitted to doing that. Now, though 95% of organizations claim to deliver phishing awareness training to their employees, it's clear that this isn't making the biggest dent in this space. And I am a huge advocate of phishing and awareness training when it's done right. And I think that's the key word. You know, when 95% of organizations say they're doing this, what does that really mean, right? To me, training and awareness is not just, you know, telling people to do some e-learning module once a year or once every other year. It is a continuous process. It takes consistency to help people really identify these links. And so training and awareness is always super important. If it's not done right, then you run into even bigger issues there. Now, ultimately, these social engineering attacks lead to a type of insider threat, of course, labeled like user error, or this is where people aren't necessarily trying to do something malicious, but they unknowingly click on a link or click on a text message or get tricked into thinking that they're talking to the help desk and give up their password or something like that. It's really unintentional. And the consequences of those can range from credential theft, to costly data breaches, right? Ransomware, data leakage, and all kinds of things. But the other piece, of course, not to forget here is that disgruntled employees could, of course, also, or insiders within the company could also intentionally launch social engineering attacks to get access to things that they should not do. And so there's that malicious intent to be aware of as well. And so there's both sides to that. Now, looking at a couple of examples of these types of breaches, one that happened earlier this year was the Microsoft 365 phishing scam to steal user credentials. And this one, of course, MS365 is a very popular technology and something that a lot of people use. So this was a huge concern. Security researchers basically discovered a business email compromise sort of phishing scam that tricks the recipient into installing a malicious code on their machines or on their devices. And how this worked was that a user, unsuspecting, would receive a blank email with a subject line that said something enticing. And then that email contains an attachment that looks like it's an Excel spreadsheet. However, that spreadsheet is, of course, a different file type in disguise. And when that file is opened, the target is directed to a website that has malicious code on it. That code triggers a pop-up notification saying that, hey, you've been logged out of Microsoft 365. You know, you need to re-enter your login credentials in order to get back in. And then, of course, that fraudulent web form sends the user credentials that the unsuspecting user just typed in to whoever is actually owning that scan or owning the scam. These types of attacks are not new by any means, but what's interesting about it is that they're, instead of just trying to do something to run the malicious code automatically, they are leveraging this brand's reputation and the sort of common use of this brand to just get people to think, oh, hey, there was an error and now I just need to re-enter my login credentials because it looks super realistic. And so that was one example. Another one that also happened earlier this year is, there's a lot going on with ransomware right now, of course, and ransomware tends to be empowered by social engineering as well. And so several employees in a UK rail operator received this weird email from their boss. It looked like it was something that was legitimate, but it was actually sent by an imposter who was, you know, just acting like they were that employee's boss or that employee's coworker. And so they were able to get in and basically send out these emails that look legitimate. Folks clicked on them. Ransomware got introduced into the organization. It was suspected that this was purely spear phishing. So the difference, just to give context, is general phishing, right, is where people send mass, I would say, like blast of phishing emails, hoping that they get lucky and somebody clicks on something. When you're doing spear phishing attacks, they are super targeted. You pick a person, a topic, and everything that's relevant to the person that you're targeting. And so you have a lot more context around the person that you're targeting so that you can really make it believable. And so those are a couple of different examples. There are tons out there, of course. But now I want to get into the evolving threat types and trends. So digging into that phishing side a bit more. So successful phishing campaigns tend to depend on like an email looking really realistic or tricking the recipient again to believe that it's from a reliable source. There are common telltale signs of what phishing attacks look like, and that's how we tend to train users. However, as these attacks get more sophisticated, it's a lot harder to just rely on that training and awareness and just rely on that user because they're becoming so realistic that you have to you have to think differently and look at the different layers that you can use to protect against these attacks. Now, some of those trends that we're seeing are, one, content phishing is on the rise. So as organizations migrate more services to the cloud, attackers can are coming up with, I would say, sort of updated social engineering tactic that people are labeling content phishing. And that is to steal company data through cloud services and in the cloud environment. And so in this kind of attack, hackers use malicious apps that seek permission from users instead of asking for passwords. It's a lot easier to convince somebody, or people don't think as much when, you know, a screen pops up that says, hey, put in your password. You might, you know, second guess that, or you might pause for a little bit, versus if something says, you know, hey, I need permission to this, click yes to allow permission. We tend to find those annoying generally. And so we're just like, yes, permission, and then keep going. And so these kinds of attacks sort of play on that. They bypass endpoint security because they're not necessarily adding, you know, code or anything to the user's machine. That's another example of a trend. And even speaking on, you know, Office 365, this is something that has been used there as well to automatically link an employee's email account to a cyber criminal's email address from permission standpoints. One example with that led to the breach of about 30,000 almost personally identifiable records. So huge stuff there. The other trend that we are seeing is phishing as a service is expanding. So you may have heard of like ransomware as a service in the past, where, you know, you're able to buy very easy to set up or very easy to deploy ransomware attack kits on the dark web. Same is happening with phishing. You're able to purchase pretty sophisticated phishing attack kits, but it's a paid subscription service essentially, or a paid online service, right, where you get access to, for a pretty, you know, insignificant amount of money, end-to-end phishing campaigns, including the false sign-in page, including website hosting, including credential parsing, redistribution of emails, like so much more. And so these are really legitimate services that have everything from customer support centers to SLAs and everything in between. And so that's a trend that continues to grow. The last big one that I want to talk about is, of course, deepfakes. Deepfakes continue to create a large challenge as people, as attackers especially, use fake, you know, audio and fake video using artificial intelligence and things to successfully trick folks into believing in misinformation. This technology was ranked as one of the most worrying applications of AI because there are severe implications from a cybercrime standpoint and from several other standpoints that organizations have to prepare against. Now, I've talked about quite a bit so far. I'll breeze through a couple of others just because they're important to mention here always. I talked about spear phishing, those really targeted, sophisticated phishing attacks that are meant to just hit harder and convince folks to feel that pressure even more that they need to take action. Vishing is voice phishing. And so that's where the attack is happening through voice calls or through the phone. Smishing is another one, through SMS or through text message. Quid pro quo allows hackers to pretend that they are, you know, customer support agents, a product or anything like that to target their users. Baiting could be where someone, you know, drops a USB drive or a phone or, anything around to try to get people to pick it up and plug it into their employees or connect it to their devices or anything like that. Another one actually that's interesting is a search engine phishing or SEO poisoning. And this is where hackers are making it to the top ranks on search engines. And this tricks users into unknowingly clicking on high-ranking links that they think are trustworthy. That directs them then to a hacker's website. And so those are some trends. And there are some key challenges to addressing these attacks and these growing trends as well. One, of course, is the growth of remote employees. It's a lot harder to control your attack surface when you have companies with hundreds of employees, thousands of employees, sometimes hundreds of thousands of employees all over the place. And so it's important to know how to just manage all of that, especially as social engineering attackers realize that, you know, it's a much broader playing field and a much broader attack surface for them to explore around. And they have a lot of fun with that. Another challenge is being able to monitor user behavior. So traditional sort of anomaly-based detection methodologies tend to be a little bit limited in picking up on some of these user errors that are occurring. Because another thing to think about is if a user is tricked into giving up their credentials and an attacker now has that and is able to log into the system with those same legitimate credentials, how do you know who is really an employee and who isn't? And so traditional detection technology can sometimes miss the mark on that. Now, when it comes to what we can do about that, right? We've talked about trends, we've talked about some of the challenges. I think to wrap this up with the things that we can do to protect against some of these attacks, I had mentioned this in the beginning, security awareness and training. This is huge. Still, I think that you can reduce a lot of risk by simply teaching people what to do and what not to do and teaching people how to recognize some of these issues. The caveat, however, and what I was mentioning earlier is you have to be consistent and you have to build your training and awareness program in a way that is really engaging and inspires people to care about cybersecurity versus forcing it on people or chasing people with a stick and saying, hey, you have to do your cybersecurity training for compliance reasons. I feel like anytime you put for compliance reasons in front of anything, people automatically mentally check out and think, okay, I just have to do this to get it done. I'm going to like click through all of these screens without paying attention. And so that's not the kind of culture that you want to lead with. You want to lead with one where people are really interested in this stuff and excited to learn more. And so that is one area to pay attention to. Of course, user and entity behavior analytics is important. When we talked about the fact that it's hard to use traditional detection methods to detect some of these advanced attacks, that's where this user behavior stuff really comes into play, because you can add very rich and robust context to different user actions so that you can better pinpoint whether something is legitimate or not. And that ties into employee monitoring. Of course, you want to have great ways to monitor employee activity and monitor for anything that's suspicious and be able to have evidence in the event that you need to, you know, do any litigation or anything like that. Because again, there's unsuspecting and unintentional insider threats. And then there's also the malicious ones and the folks who are actually trying to do bad things here. And you want to be able to manage both of those, especially if you have to take something to court or anything like that. And so technology is really important in that space. And then the last thing that I'll touch on here is I am all about automation and making things as efficient as possible. And I think that when you take a layered approach of focusing on, you know, people and how you can empower them through training and awareness, right? Having all of the processes that you need to reduce social engineering attacks and insider threat, then having that technology and having it work in a way that is truly automated and can detect and block some of these attacks in real time, I think that becomes really important as well. Now, I know we've covered a lot here. Social engineering is a fast-growing threat, is, you know, the biggest bottom line here. And so it's very important that organizations have an insider threat program that utilizes technology solutions along with security training and awareness programs and more in order to detect and prevent these attacks at the core. Now, that concludes the Variado Insider podcast for this week. This podcast is brought to you by Variado, which is an award-winning cybersecurity company. Their solutions are anchored around four core pillars of cybersecurity protection. That includes employee monitoring and web filtering, insider threat detection, employee investigations, and ransomware support. So to learn more about how Variado can help protect your company, check out variado.com. Now, thanks again for tuning in. I'm Dr. Christine Iswakor, the CEO of Cyber Pop-Up, and it has been my pleasure to share these insights with you. So until next time, stay safe and secure, insiders.